This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with Port Townsend's water resources manager about our dwindling water supply, and then we catch up on some plans for summer fun. So now, let's go inside the Compass. But with the recent heat wave and rare forest fires burning in the Olympic rainforest and area rivers flowing at less than a third of their seasonal norm, it feels an awful lot like the future of global warming has come to roost in the present here in Western Washington, and everywhere officials are scrambling to adjust. Port Townsend Paper Mill General Manager Carr Tyndall recently told the Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce that mill officials are extremely worried about the water shortage and speculated that the mill may be forced to curtail operations, despite having invested this year in technologies like steam condensing towers to conserve as much as 3 million gallons of water a day. The Washington State Department of Natural Resources has instituted a statewide burn ban, and the Port Townsend City Council is considering an ordinance mandating water conservation. I recently went to visit Port Townsend Water Resources Manager Ian Jablonski in his office next door to the city's wastewater treatment plant to get his overview of the situation.
So first of all, why don't we talk a little bit about the source of the water for Port Townsend?
So Port Townsend uses water coming from the Big Quilcene River and from the Little Quilcene River. Our primary source is the Big Quilcene River. And most of the year we can take water directly from that stream. It all goes through City Lake before coming to town. Water that we take from the Little Quilcene River, we store in Lord's Lake, and we use that water for supplementing our water supply during periods of low stream flow, such as in the late summer, early fall, or when there are turbidity events, storm events within the watershed that cause high turbidity within the rich streams, and we shut off the Big Quilcene diversion and then just use water that was stored in Lord's Lake.
And so maybe outline a little bit also the relationship between the city and the mill.
The city went out back in the 1920s, had some bonds that paid for the development of the Olympic gravity water system from the Quilcene Rivers. The agreement with the mill was that they were going to operate and maintain the water line diversions and reservoirs for the city. And then the city then maintains the infrastructure within town. And that's continued up through today.
In return for which, I gather, the mill gets its water free of any other charge.
Well, they paid off the bonds for the pipeline. And so there was the original construction of the pipeline in the 1920s, and then starting in the mid-50s, there was another bond issued to pay for the construction of Lord's Lake, the Little Quilcene River diversion, and replacement of most of the pipeline.
And I gather that the mill uses quite a bit more water than, what is the proportion of city to mill use?
Generally, the city is using somewhere around, on an average in a year, about 900,000 gallons of water per day. And the paper mill is in about the 11 to 12 million gallon per day range. And now that we are instituting conservation measures, the mill use is down from that. It's currently running probably about 9 million or gallons a day or so, and they're hoping to get it further down to maybe close to 7 million gallons a day.
The two Quilcene Rivers both pretty much rely on snowpack for their summertime flow, right?
Our snowpack usually builds until the beginning of April, and then thereafter that melting snow supplies most of the stream flow until sometime usually in July or so. The streams are usually declining, you know, at some point from June or July on. And at a certain point for us, it's normally the beginning of September, the flows have reached a point where we need to start using water that we have stored in Lord's Lake previously. So this year, the stream flows have dropped about 2 months ahead of normal and are currently about a third or less of what they would be at this time of the year because of that low snowpack.
Has the water ever been this low before this early?
Not at this time of the year, no.
Now, I imagine there must be some sort of requirements of maintenance of flow at some level from the Department of Ecology for the fish and ecology up there, right?
The city has a water right that allows us to take 30 CFS from the Big Quilcene River. And that was conditioned upon the release of our special use permit from the Forest Service back in 2009. The National Marine Fisheries Service was consulted. There was some analysis done, and it was determined that we should leave at least 27 CFS in stream if it was naturally available. We had been doing that voluntarily since about 1997, and that appeared to be sufficient for fish passage and spawning at that time of the year. So that has been a condition of our permit since 2009, whereas it was voluntary before that.
And what is the flow at now?
Today it was 29 CFS below the diversion, so there's a couple of CFS or so before we need to start cutting back our withdrawals.
If and when we reach that point, how's it going to be worked? I mean, I imagine you must be in conversations with the mill about what happens when we need to cut down by a couple of million gallons a day. I mean, like, you know, how is that going to take place?
We maintain some USGS staff gauges below our diversion, so the mill operators who maintain the water system monitor those daily, and then when the flows reach the minimum in-stream flow levels, they just start throttling back on the valves for how much water we're taking, and in order to supplement our needs otherwise, start increasing the amount of water we take out of Lord's Lake.
And how much water does Lord's Lake contain? I mean, you know, how what kind of cushion does that give it?
Lord's Lake normally contains 500 million gallons of water. This year, we received permission to increase the level in Lord's Lake by another 3.5 feet. So that was about 70 million additional gallons of water that we have stored in Lord's Lake this year. When Lord's Lake is emptied, there's still a volume of water below the diversion outlet, and you can pump some water from the lake that was there originally before the reservoir was built. And there's probably another 30 or 40 million gallons of water below the outlet's lowest gate. Approximately 600 million total gallons of water in Lord's Lake at this moment.
Right, which is like a couple of years worth?
Well, the way we operate is that we will slowly start taking water out of Lord's Lake. We'll be reducing the amount we take out of stream. And in that scenario, we would have about 3 months or more supply of water, again, depending on what conservation measures are implemented and, you know, how much demand there is. If you just took the city's use alone, yes, that could last for a couple of years or so. But
the mill would have to curtail its operation somehow.
Yes, with the mill use, I mean, it's obviously a lot more than the city's use. And so, again, there's at least about 3 months supply at this point in Lord's Lake, using that declining amount of water that you can take from the streams.
Now, obviously, in a job like yours, when you're looking at these kind of frightening facts of, yeah, I mean, there was 0 to 1% of normal snowpack in much of the Olympics in the spring, you must be asking yourself, is this going to become the new normal?
That's the prediction eventually. I mean, it's not going to be this way every year, but the long-term climate projections are is that we are going to have decreasing snowpack. Stream flows will be supposedly similar during the winter times. It might be a little flashier in the winter times. We'll get more rain or somewhere close to the rain we currently have. But it won't be falling as much as snow in the mountains.
Is Port Townsend looking at figuring out ways it can have additional storage from the winter?
We have looked at the possibility of expanding Lord's Lake. There are some issues with the hydraulics of doing that since we're all gravity operated, and the more that you raise the level of Lord's Lake, the harder it becomes to fill because of the limited differential height between the Big Quilcene or Little Quilcene rivers and the lake level. And there's also the costs associated with that. When we did the study to double the size of the lake, it was somewhere in the $4.5 million range to do that.
Is there anything that you're asking people to do now in the way of water conservation?
Well, it's a good time now to basically reduce the outdoor watering as much as you can. At this point, you know, having a green lawn is not a priority for most people here in town. I understand people still do have vegetable gardens and fruit trees and everything that they want, but water those, you know, as needed, and try not to do any overwatering on that. If the water situation becomes more dire, then we will be going from a voluntary conservation request to issuing some mandatory restrictions. We'll be keeping an eye on that.
Do you have the authority to put in mandatory restrictions now, or would that require a special ordinance or something?
We are having City Council review and adopt a drought contingency response plan, and I believe they're supposed to be doing that at the July 20th council meeting.
And would the mill be subject to that as well?
This would be for city conservation steps. The mill is located outside of the city, so they don't necessarily have the same control over what the mill needs to do. But it does.
So who does have authority over the mill's water use?
Well, the mill has authority over the... They still have to operate within our DOE water rights. But the contract with the city and mill kind of outlines that the mill is entitled to the water that the city does not use. The city is entitled to the first 5 million gallons, even though we don't use that much, and the mill is entitled to the remainder.
I see. So really the city could just say, well, not our problem. We're not using our allotment anyway, so any conservation measures would have to be made by the mill. I mean, that would be an option.
Well, the mill is obviously doing all they can this year, and they have done in the past, too.
A forum on the drought featuring Jablonski and others is being held on Tuesday, July 14th at the Chimicum High School Auditorium. That's at 91 West Valley Road in Chimicum. The forum aims to answer questions on water supplies, water rights, and conservation strategies, and is sponsored by North Olympic Development Council, the City of Port Townsend, Local 2020, and the Washington Department of Ecology. This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Compass. From organizing the summertime Thursday evening concerts on the dock to keeping the flowers fresh and all those hanging planters around town, the volunteers and staff at Port Townsend's Main Street program are always working quietly behind the scenes to make our city an interesting, beautiful, and lively place to be. I stopped by the Main Street office on the second floor of the venerable Victorian Baker Building one recent weekday afternoon to talk with Main Street Director Mari Mullen about plans for upcoming programs. Mari, I understand that we have a really full schedule of entertainment and cultural events happening in Port Townsend this summer. What's going on?
There is so much going on, and we are really excited. We have concerts on the dock happening now. They are free outdoor concerts in the Cotton Building Plaza, and KPTC is one of our sponsors for that event, and Homer Smith Insurance is our lead sponsor, along with Kitsap Credit Union and the city, of course, and many KPTC media sponsor and Peninsula Daily News. So a lot of people, the CoLab, help make it happen, and generous business sponsors who sponsor the stage and the beer garden. And so together, you know, we're able to offer this wonderful music. And this coming week, on the 16th of July, it's Locust Street Taxi.
So I understand that there's a possibility that KPTZ is going to be airing that one live, right? I mean, we did that last year. We aired a couple of the shows.
That's right. So Larry Stein gets together a great crew, and they come out and do a live broadcast. So hoping that works out for Locust Street Taxi. And to finish out July, we have T.S. Fisher and the Smooth Operators. And then Hot Damn Scandal, if we can say that on the radio. And then August 6th, we've got the Stacey Jones Band. August 13th, it's Solvents, who are preceded by Kilsyth Band. And then August 20th, we wrap it up with Kevin Mason and the Yacht Club. So it's a great lineup. There's something for every taste. It's all ages venue, and it's the seating opens at 4:30, and then the shows start at 5 and go to about 7:30. So, and those are our rain or shine, and we do them every Thursday from now through August 20th.
So then we also have the 25th annual Uptown Street Fair coming up, I see. When's that happening?
That is Saturday, August 15th from 9 to 5 p.m. And that is a really special one this year. So the silver anniversary of the Uptown Street Fair. And we have a great committee of people working on that. And there's an all-day arts and crafts fair with the PT Arts Guild. And the Farmers Market is participating that day, of course. And we have a full day of music lined up from 10 to 5. And we also have kids' art activities, and we have the parade, the Grandly Local Parade, which is an uptown tradition, and we actually have moved back the time to 2 p.m. this year, so the parade will be at 2 p.m. And we welcome entries, and with the silver anniversary theme, no political or religious entries, but we always have a fun, eclectic, colorful parade. It's one of the shortest parades around, but it's also one of the most colorful and very popular.
Will there be marching bands in the parade?
We believe there will be at least one marching drum band, yes.
And I see a picture in your poster of at least one kinetic vehicle.
Yes, we are very grateful to the great Kinetic Bay Sculpture Race, and they help with security at the fair, and they help us get the parade organized. They're great partners, and we also are just so thankful to the sponsors who've come forward to help that event happen, at Panay D'Amour and Carlson Chiropractic and the Arts Guild and the Uptown Pub, and there's a beer garden outside at the Uptown Pub during the event, so that's a lot of fun. And the business guides, the printery, Central Welding, Aldridge's, Wally Works, a lot of great sponsors helping, and the city, of course. And we also just encourage people to, you know, patronize the Uptown businesses during the day. So a lot of them will be open, of course, and it's going to be a day full of fun music. And I would love to tell you about the music for that day.
Yeah, who's in the lineup?
Fair starts at 9 o'clock, and then as does the farmers market. But after that, there's going to be Young Fiddlers at 10 a.m.
And who are these Young Fiddlers?
Young Fiddlers. I would have to get you their names. I don't know their names off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
But how young are they? Do we know?
I would say they're in grammar school.
Very young fiddlers.
They are,
okay.
They are youthful. And after that, we have got Henge, which is a band from the high school. And then we have the Port Townsend Summer Band, which is directed by Carl Bach, who is a distant relative of
Johann Sebastian,
yes.
And Philip Emanuel.
Yes. And then after that, we have Pies on the Run at 12 noon. And all this info will be on our Main Street website at ptmainstreet.org. And we also are going to be sending out a lot of information about it so people can look for that. And after Pies on the Run at 1 o'clock is Trinary and the Coal Miners. And then the parade at 2 o'clock. And at 2:30, we got a great dance band. After that, from 2:30 to 3:30, we have the F Street Band, Jim Nyby and the F Street Band. And
they'll be dancing in the street?
Dancing in the street, Steve. It's always a highlight of the fair. And then we have belly dancers and a fire arts performance. Belly dancers are exceedingly popular and colorful and great photo opportunity.
And what exactly are fire arts?
They twirl fire, and they, I think, will participate in the parade as well. But it's just, it's demonstrations of fire eating and fire twirling.
Sounds dangerous.
Well, we just have to keep them in the middle of the street. You know, that's the goal there. And lastly, to wrap it up, we have from 4:15 to 5, we have the twins, Julia McHugh and Meg Barnes. And they will also have some guest musicians.
Definitely local favorites. So, and what else is happening this summer?
Well, it would just not be fair if I didn't talk about Main Street's 30th anniversary, which is this year. We're celebrating it. And on Sunday, August 30th, we are having a big afternoon party, and it's preceded by the Port Townsend family portrait. So at 5 o'clock, we will be taking the town portrait at Washington and Taylor Street. And David Conklin is our photographer, and Mike Kenna from the Printery is our printer. And as he has from the very beginning in 1985, that was the first family portrait. And Mike was on the original committee that invented the Port Townsend family portrait, and it's now copied across the country. And so it started here in Port Townsend, and he's still the printer for it, and they'll be available the next day, Monday, for purchase. And then at 5:30 that day, we're actually having a big picnic in the street. We're going to have a Celebrate Main Street in the Street on Taylor Street. And so we're going to have tables and chairs all set out, and tickets will be $10. And people can go online to our website at ptmainstreet.org, or we will also be sending out an Eventbrite invitation. And basically, we're going to have an outdoor beer and wine garden, and your ticket includes, you know, a beverage and a dessert and a seat at the table. And then we encourage people to bring a picnic and have a picnic dinner outside. So it's based on the concept of dinner en blanc, which happens around the world. But we want people to, that means dinner in white, but we want people to wear bright colors so that when they're in the family portrait, they'll be in bright colors and just wear bright colors and celebrate summer.
And what were the dates on that again?
That's Sunday, August 30th at 5:30 for the dinner, and then at 5 o'clock is the family portrait.
So to review, like, you know, these dates again, so we have, like, every Thursday at starting at what time we have the concerts on the dock?
That's is at 4:30, and then the show starts at 5.
Okay, and then the Uptown Street Fair is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on August 15th, Saturday, August 15th. And then finally, we have the 30th anniversary of the Main Street program at the end of the month on the 30th.
Of August. Yes. We want everyone to come celebrate with us. If you live here in town, if you've volunteered with us, if you've served on our board, if you just love all the things that Main Street does, from the flower baskets to concerts on the dock to holiday decorations and bringing Santa to town and the downtown trick-or-treat. If you've done any of those things, we'd love you to think about coming to the party and celebrating with us. We have achieved so much, and there's always more to do, but it's been an exciting way to enhance our town, increase its livability, increase its commercial prosperity, and protect its buildings and encourage people to maintain them and just make Port Townsend a beautiful place to live and work and visit.
So Main Street actually has like a wide assortment of programs, ranging from maintaining a database of office spaces to actually, you have your Girls' Night Out program, which raises money for women to get cancer screenings, right? So, I mean, maybe you'd like to talk to us about other programs of Main Street.
Yes. Well, our Main Street program is based on the national Main Street model, and so it's set up in four committees, and they're all volunteer committees, and promotion, design, economics, and organization committees. And then we actually have a separate committee that does the HUD loan fund reviews. So just some of the things that Main Street does is behind the scenes, and you might not be aware of it, but it's I think part of what makes town work, and we do incremental changes to be adding to the betterment for the whole. So we do things like clean the public restrooms at the Cotton Building every day, and we power wash the sidewalks from bird waste, and we water 150 hanging flower baskets, things like that, that are kind of the way the physical look of town is. But then we also have tools like the new building and business inventory, which is an online tool to map the historic district spaces uptown and downtown. And it was created by Totero Web Systems. And if you go to our website at ptmainstreet.org and you click on building and business inventory, there's an uptown section and a downtown section. You just click through the link and you can see kind of a visual representation of the spaces that are available. So it's a tool to encourage.
So you can shop for an office.
You can look for what's available for an office, and you can look to see what store is where. And if you're a building owner, you would contact our office, and we will get in touch with you to help you set up your building, the upper story spaces. We've got pretty much all the main story spaces mapped on there, but you know, it's the tool will be as valuable as it is updated by the property owners. So, but it's a very exciting project that was several years in the making for the economics committee. So we're happy it's up and running, and we encourage people to look around on it. We also have this summer we have the Shop Till 7 all summer long, and there's about 21 stores that have signed up to have later hours till 7 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays through the summer. So, and there's the big summer sidewalk sale over Labor Day weekend. So we try to keep a lively schedule of events to encourage foot traffic and encourage local shopping and have fun things for visitors to do. But also when you make your town wonderful for your residents, it's wonderful for your visitors. So
you must have a pretty large staff to, like, you know, do all these things. Are you highly, like, volunteer powered?
We are, I'm a full-time staff, and then we have a three-quarter-time program coordinator, Dawn Pearson, and then the rest are volunteers. And so we coordinate 25 events a year. And
about how many volunteers?
We have about 25 volunteers who work on our events and committees.
And I guess in order to get involved, somebody would talk to you.
They could call our office, and we would love to find them a volunteer gig. And we, especially with so many events this summer for KPTZ and for Main Street, there's always room for those that want to pitch in and help with events. We'd love to have more help.
Now, I know another hat you wear is as a board member for KPTZ. And didn't you want to talk to me about some event on behalf of KPTZ that's coming up here?
I do want to do that. I want to talk to you about the KPTZ Summer Breeze Dance Party, which is happening also in August. That is on Saturday, August 8th, and it's going to be at the Palindrome, located on Jacob Miller Road there. Right.
Just recently rehabilitated as a dance hall again,
yes,
I understand.
Yes, and Eagle Mount Cidery is involved there, and there's been a lot of great stories in the paper about it. But the address is 1893 South Jacob Miller Road. And Floating Otis is the dance band, which is Michael Felber and Robert Donovan and Liz Piglowski and Mark Sabella and Gary Pasco. And they were the talent for the dance party last summer. And so they're really excited to do it again. And there's also going to be a silent auction. And it's a group, a really dedicated group working on the silent auction. And volunteers, welcome to come and help us with the event, but a lot of auction items have been flowing in, so that's exciting. And the party's at 7:30, and it's $10 at the door, and it's an over 21 event, and we think it's going to be a beautiful setting for a summer party. So we want you to bring your dancing shoes and come on out to the Palindrome on Saturday, August 8th.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to expound all of this for me today, and
thank you.
I look forward to attending.
Thank you, Steve.
This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.